Amen. Amen. Well, it's lovely to be here on this last Sunday of the year, and also a kind of Christmas Sunday. If you haven't had enough carols over Christmas and enough of the Christmas theme, we're going to look at it again together today. I don't know what your pastor's been looking at, but I want to look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And he did worry me when he texted me the readings for our church today, and one of the readings was Luke 2. So I thought, oh, well, never mind. But there we go. I want to look at Luke chapter 2. So I don't know whether he's been looking at Luke 2 with you, but it doesn't matter. It's just worth looking again and again. I want to look at this morning and evening at the shepherds. I've been looking at my own church over the last few weeks leading up to Christmas and up to Christmas Day at the message of the shepherds. The lesson, really. The lesson of the shepherds, I called it. And there's a lot of lessons here for us. Now, I want to take a text. It's verse 15 and verse 16. Having heard the message of the gospel and then that glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Verse 15 we read, "And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now, the first lesson, surely, even before that text, is the verses before, verses 10 to 14. One thing they did, they can teach us there, of course, is that they heard the gospel. They heard the gospel. The angels were the first to proclaim the gospel on that first Christmas morning. Do you remember what the gospel is? It's good tidings, the angels said. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. What a message it is. The gospel is great news, good news for all mankind, for all people. The gospel, therefore, is not something to do. It's not something about us. You know, it's not about our lives. It's not about the way we live. We always think that. That always comes after. That's not the gospel message. Indeed, it's not about us at all. Not even our faith. I say that carefully, but not even our faith or even our repentance. You say, surely that's the gospel message. No, the gospel message is all about this glad tidings of great joy. The gospel is about this, a Saviour who has been born, who is Christ the Lord. It's a gospel about Jesus Christ, and it's a gospel for all people. God spoke to them, remember it, God spoke to them from heaven. And the message, of course, is a message. That's the essence of Christianity. It's a message. It's a proclamation of what God has done. Now, having heard that message, they did something. They believed it. And that's what we want to look at this morning. The lesson for us this morning is the shepherds believed the gospel. They believed the gospel. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, that's what we're told in this text. Having heard the gospel, they then believed it. They believed the gospel. They didn't just hear it, they then believed it. Now, let me say at the beginning this morning, it's not enough to hear the gospel. You may come along to this church and you may hear the gospel, but that isn't enough. It isn't enough. You can hear it 1,000 times or once. It won't do you any good at all unless you believe it. Faith only comes by hearing, yes, but it must be faith, and it must lead to faith. And without faith, there is no salvation. You must believe this gospel. It's a vital matter. So let's look at this. I want to ask two questions. The first is this: what is faith? That's an important question. We must be clear on that. What is faith? Now, thankfully, we don't have to turn very far, because the Bible's jam-packed with stuff about faith, isn't it? The Bible's got a lot to say about faith. Obviously, that means faith is important. If the Bible has so much to say about it, then faith is vital. The importance of faith in the gospel is the first and paramount thing. You'll see that right throughout the New Testament. There is no gospel without faith. There is no salvation, without faith. The salvation, according to the scriptures, is not by works. It's very clear on this. It's not what you do. It's not even your faith in a sense. Even that is a gift of God. It is received by faith. Though everywhere in the Bible, the Gospel and the New Testament calls you to believe. You are called to believe. And if you believe, the Bible says, you will be saved. And if you don't believe, you will be condemned. You're already condemned for not believing. But you'll be even more condemned. When you hear the Gospel, by the way, and you don't believe it, God condemns you even more. You're just heaping up more condemnation. So it's not a good thing to sit under the Gospel regularly and not believe it. You're just storing up more judgment for yourself every time you hear the Gospel. I remember speaking to a woman years ago, and I was working in an office, and she said to me, "Oh, do you work with so-and-so?" I said, "Yes." She said, "As you know him," she said, "he comes to our church." I said, "Yes, he does go to church with his wife." And then I thought, "You see, new Christian." I said, "Well, that's good, isn't it? He comes to church. He's under the Gospel." She said, "No, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. That's why he didn't come." I said, "Why do you say that?" He says, "Because he's been coming for years. He's been coming for years. And he sits there and he doesn't listen. He's not interested. He's hardening his heart to the Gospel." It's a terrible thing not to believe this Gospel. Well, let me give you an example. If you turn to Mark chapter 1, the opening of Mark's Gospel, it just says this: "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So the Gospel is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then in verse 15, Jesus preaches it. "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the Gospel." Repent and believe the Gospel. Repentance and faith always go together in the Bible. Repent and believe the Gospel. The first message Jesus preaches is believe the Gospel. Time has been fulfilled now. You must believe this Gospel. And then, of course, in our reading, we had it in John's Gospel, the importance. I read John chapter 3 for that reason, because the emphasis is on believing. Verse 15, "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You remember, this is John 3:16, but it's repeated, isn't it? So that is double emphasis. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, you see the importance of what God is doing there. He's about to say the greatest verse in the whole Bible, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But before he makes that statement, it's sandwiched between whoever believes in him, because he repeats it again. So which is more important? Well, it's a great thing for God to so love the world to give his only begotten Son. But God is saying to us what is more important. And can you imagine that? What is more important for us is not that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest message of all. What God is saying truly is this: what is more important is that you believe. You've got to believe. Oh, look at this, verse 15. "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And then again, "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If the Bible says it twice in the space of two verses, you can be sure it's important. You can be sure God is giving it for that reason. Let me give you another. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, well-known text. Romans 3 and verse 19. Let me read it from verse 19. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God." We're all guilty. We haven't kept this law. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by good works, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So there's the law. The law can't save you. Salvation is not by you. It's not by good works. All the law is to do primarily, of course, it still applies to the, even for the Christian, but all it can do is convict you of sin and show you're a sinner. You can't be saved by good works. Well, here's the Gospel then in verse 21. "But now," what a statement this is, the contrast. "But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets," being witnessed in the Old Testament, "even the righteousness of God, here it is, through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how it's received, through faith in Jesus Christ. To all, on all who believe, for there is no difference. You see, we're all sinners, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now that's the gospel. And if you go to verse 28, therefore we conclude, we sum it up like this, that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. That's the conclusion of Romans 3. You are only going to be saved, he says, by faith, not works. Apart from, separate from the deeds of the law. We conclude that is it. There is no other way to be saved. It must be faith in Jesus Christ. The importance of it, again. And you know, you're familiar with this text, I'm sure, and Ephesians chapter 2. You remember the statement in Ephesians 2, in verse 8 and 9. Paul, again, using the, of course, the argument of grace as well. He's already done so in Romans 3. It's grace through faith. It's grace, not works. Well, here it is again. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. Now he's writing to believers. You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Even the faith. I really believe it is that. It's not just the salvation. It's the faith as well. Not of works. Now the key verse is verse 9, isn't it? I mean, he just has to keep saying this all the way through his teaching. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You cannot boast. Where is boasting, he says in Romans? It's excluded. It's by faith every time. It's by faith. It's by grace through faith. Now, what is this faith? What is this faith? What is faith in Jesus Christ? How would we define it? Well, I want to give you a quote from the Shorter Catechism. I like the Shorter Catechism. We use it at the church in Blackpool. What is faith in Jesus Christ? Is question 86. And the answer is brilliant. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. I repeat that. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace. It's something that's going to save us. Whereby, here it's how it works out, we receive and rest upon him alone, capital letters there, on Christ alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. And the gospel, of course, is offering Christ and all that comes with him. So the key there, of course, is to receive. If you read the gospel of John, the opening statement in John, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you go to verse 12, it says, as many as received it, as many as received him, he gave them the right to become, the power to become the children of God. So it's receiving Christ as he is offered to us in the gospel and resting upon him, trusting in him alone for salvation, believing in him primarily as our Savior. You trust in him, not yourself, not your works, not anything else. It's not of works, it's faith in Jesus Christ. So you rest upon him. I think it's leaning upon him. There's another hymn we sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I rest upon him alone. It's by faith alone, not anything else. And the key to this faith is going to be that word alone. The reformers put that in, didn't they? Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Scriptures alone. It's this message of the gospel, and you've got to trust it entirely, completely, adding nothing to it. And it's faith primarily in Jesus Christ. Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone. Only by faith are you going to be saved. It's his work, not your work. It's not my effort, in a sense. It's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. In that sense, the focus of the gospel is entirely on the work of Jesus Christ. You are to receive it. You are to believe it. But there's no difference, says Paul. We're all the same. It's not of works, lest anyone could boast. We are sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We must believe this good news, this gospel. He is my righteousness. A way to be righteous apart from the law has been revealed. What did Jesus do? He lived a perfect life. That's why he was born. That's why he became a man. He put himself under the law that condemns us sinners, and he lived a righteous, perfect life. And then, of course, he died as a man. He was born to die. He was born to live in our place. He lived a life that is really my life, that I could never live. And then he died my death, the death I would be eternally dying. And he was punished for my sins. My sins imputed to him, his life imputed to me. The great transaction takes place by faith. I am justified by faith. Just as if I'd never sinned, yes, that's part of it. But more than that, just as if I'd lived a perfect life as well. The righteousness of Christ imputed to me. Now that's our salvation. That's our good news. Let me remind you what the hymn writers say. Listen to this. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name, a richer blood than theirs. Now listen to verse 3. You remember the Old Testament sacrifice? They laid their hands upon it. That's how they did it. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. Oh, my soul looks back to see the burden thou didst bear when hanging on that cursed tree, and knows her guilt was there. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his wondrous love. Isaac Watts. Now listen to this one by Bonner, Horatius Bonner. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers, my sighs, my tears can bear this awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not mine, O Lord, to thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can soar this bondage break. I bless the Christ of God. I rest on love divine, and with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Saviour mine. That's faith. That's faith in the gospel. Salvation by faith. Resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. I receive him. I rest upon him. I trust him. What a gospel we have. That's the good news. I bring you, the angel said, glad tidings of great joy. You don't have to do anything. You're a sinner. You'll never be able to be good enough for God. God has done it all for you. You're to believe it. You're to receive it. You're to trust it. You're to rest on it. In him alone for salvation. Now that's what the shepherds believe. That's what they heard. And that's what they believe. Now let's come to the second. What we're saying is this. That is faith. But this is now the shepherd's faith. The shepherds believe this. The shepherds believed. I want to ask this question now. How did they believe? Now that may seem a basic thing, but it's not really that basic. Let me look at it. Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So what are we doing now? We're breaking faith down now. We're saying, well, that's what faith is. We've looked at it. Now let's see it in operation. Let's have a testimony from the shepherds. Let's look at how they believe. We can learn a great deal. Now look what they did. I want to mention a number of things. Look what they did. They went to Bethlehem. They went to find the Lord Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger. They were determined to go. Now that is faith, friends. That is faith. Faith isn't just hearing the gospel. Faith isn't just saying, well, that's wonderful. How many people will come into this church? And they'll say, yes, that was great. That was very interesting. You know, thank you. I get that often at carol services. Your pastor will get it throughout the year. Somebody will come in and they'll say, well, thank you very much. That was a really interesting message. And you know they haven't believed it. You know they've just enjoyed what you've said. Oh, that's good. That's interesting. It's made me think. No, no. That's not faith. Faith always acts. Faith isn't just a mere listening to the truth, even a mere acceptance of the gospel truth. Listen, the facts of the gospel will not save you. You ought to believe that this morning more than anything else. The truth of the gospel won't save anyone. Just because this gospel is true won't make a difference if you don't believe. And this gospel is true. The greatest thing you can say about Christianity, the greatest thing, is it's true. It's real, it's true. It's absolutely real. It's real history, it's a real message. It really happened 2,000 years ago. The gospel is undoubtedly true. The facts of the gospel are real and true. But it won't save you, just because that is the case. In order to be saved, we've said this morning, you've got to exercise faith and trust. You've got to receive Christ, put your trust, receive him as your Savior. Now, you know, these shepherds have got a lot to teach us here, a real lot to teach us about true biblical faith, true saving faith. The Bible tells us, for example, in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, in other words, it's impossible to be saved. It's impossible. So look at these shepherds and learn their lesson. Look at how they believe. They didn't just say, well, you know, that's amazing, that gospel. That's incredible. You know, wow, did we really see angels? Did you hear that singing? Wasn't that incredible? A Savior has been born, that's amazing. No, no. They didn't do that. They said this in verse 15, so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem. That's the key. Let us now go. The word go should jump off the page. Let us now go and see this thing that has come to pass. Now that's faith. That's real saving faith, perfectly described in verse 15. Faith acts, you see. Faith says, let's go. So they went, and verse 16 tells us, and they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the babe lying in a manger. You see, the shepherds have real faith. The faith is the key to it all, really. And the faith of the shepherds, they remind me anyway of the faith of the wise men. Remember the three wise men that came from the east in Matthew? Do you remember what they said? They said, where is he who's been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him. And of course, the scribes and the religious leaders and Herod got them together and they said, no, no, not here, not in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. And what did they do? They went to Bethlehem to see the babe. It's amazing, isn't it? And they came down and they fell down. They presented their gifts and they worshipped him. The Bible says Jerusalem is a great city and all the city was stirred. Whatever you think of it, all the city was stirred because of this message, this gospel that had been proclaimed. Where is he, they said? Where is the king that has been born King of the Jews? Where is this Savior? And they all heard about it. Everybody was talking about it. You have the same thing with the shepherds. After the message and after they've seen, they go around and they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child in Bethlehem. And you will read your Bible and you'll look for it and you won't find it. As far as we can see, multitudes did not flock from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see the babe. They didn't go. No, they didn't. Even Herod says, come and bring back word if you find him. They didn't go. No, nobody went. Just these wise men and these shepherds. And we're not told that crowds of Bethlehem were jamming to see the child. And great multitudes gathered there. And there was a great scene. No, no, no. Just them. Don't ever think that God wanted this gospel to be a private thing. He just did it for a few chosen shepherds and some chosen wise men. No, no. They told everyone. But not everyone came. Why not? Because they didn't believe. Let us now go, you see. That's faith. It actually is an active thing, faith. They went to see it for themselves. Faith, real faith, real believing, saving faith, will lead us to Christ. Until we really come to Him, until it leads us to Him, we haven't believed at all. Till we've fallen at His feet and seen the Saviour and behold His glory and worshipped Him, we haven't believed at all. Faith acts, it's real. But then secondly, faith believes. Now again, you might say, faith believes. Well, of course it does, that's obvious. No, it isn't obvious. It isn't at all obvious. Look at Hebrews 11. Turn to Hebrews 11. Greatest definition of faith in the whole Bible is Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is look at the words he uses. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Substance, it's real, you see. Faith is real. It's not pie-in-the-sky stuff. It's not, well, wishful, hopefully. It may be so. Christians always use the word no. We know whom we believe. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. But what about the contradictory statement than that, eh? How about that? Evidence of things not seen. You don't need any evidence. You just know it. Faith is enough. Faith is real. It's powerful. It's very supernatural. Now look at the faith of the shepherds. They've got that faith. They've got Hebrews 1. Now listen to the exact words of the text. Look what they say. It's all in verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Do you see? First we said, let us now go and see this, but there's more, isn't there? Oh, let me put it like this. Let's look at it this way. Look at what they didn't say. They didn't say, let's go and check this out. Let's go and see what we've heard. Let's go and check it out. They didn't say that. Let's go and see, in other words, if there's anything in this Christian gospel, in this message that's been delivered to us. Let's go to Bethlehem and see if any of this stuff is real or true. They never said anything like that. That is unbelief. That isn't faith. This is faith. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing. See this thing that has, look at the words, has come to pass. The word that should jump off the page there is has. Let us now go and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Can you see the difference? Can you see the faith? The living, vital faith, the evidence of things not seen. They haven't seen Christ yet. They haven't been to Bethlehem. They've not seen anything. Yes, they've seen angels, they've heard the message, but they haven't seen the Jesus of Bethlehem. They haven't seen Him. Yet they believe. Yet they believe. They haven't seen Christ, yet they do believe. Evidence of things not seen. Let us now go and see this thing that has come to pass. It's certain. They believe. The Lord has made it known to them. There's been a revelation. Supernatural faith has been born. Without that new birth, Jesus said, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. It won't be revealed to you. And it's the same for the three wise men. Where is he, they said. What did they say? Who has been born. They didn't ask if he had been born. They knew he'd been born. They'd not seen him, but they knew. They had faith. It had been revealed to them. And they were certain of it. And you and I are in the same position at this point. We're in the same. We always think, you know, if only I could have. No. People were there. They didn't believe. They didn't. And they saw and they didn't believe. That's why Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Where is he who has been born? We know he's been born. We know Jesus Christ has been born. And so do we. We have not seen, and faith is real, and faith is true. The Lord has made it known to us, just in the same way he made it known to them. It's supernatural, it really is. Has been born. The Saviour of the world who has been born. Oh, that's our message today, 2,000 years on. And we know it's true, as they knew it was true. Paul says this, I know whom I have believed, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Are you? Can you say that? Is that your language this morning? I know, John says, we know. We know that the Son of God has come. He's given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. We believe this gospel. By grace, says Paul, you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. We know that the Son of God has come. We know this because of the work of the Spirit. And it is revealed to us. And we have faith. He's given us an understanding, says the Apostle John, that we may know him who is true. Peter says this, whom having not seen you love, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now that's faith. That's faith. But there's one more before we finish this morning. And the third thing is this. They were urgent. They were urgent. Look again at verse 15 and 16. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, they said, now let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. There's the phrase, haste. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever considered what happened on that first Christmas? Have you ever considered their faith? What were they doing, these shepherds, that night? What were they doing? How does it begin? How does the text begin? Well, it tells you in verse 8, now they were in the same country, shepherds, living out in the fields. What were they doing there? Well, it tells us, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were protecting their livelihood, their business. They had sheep and they could have been attacked and stolen and of course eaten by wild animals and wolves. So they were protecting their business, their livelihood. They were looking after it, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Have you ever thought about it? Did they give a thought to those sheep? Not a second. I don't believe for a second they got together and one of them said, you all go and I'll stay and watch the business. No, they said, let us go to Bethlehem. And they all went with haste. You know, stuff the sheep. Forget the business. This is more important. We must go and see this thing that God has made known to us. And they didn't give a hoot about the sheep. They left them there. I firmly believe when they came back later that night, praising God, we'll look at it tonight, there wasn't one of them missing. God gave them faith to believe. And this was important. This was the most important thing. There was nothing more important than this. Oh, they came with haste. They literally ran to Bethlehem and they ran to the Savior. Now the gospel should always be preached like that and the gospel message should always be received like that. Have you been pondering this gospel? Well, Mary pondered it, but she was a believer. Consider it. Yes, think. But the gospel is always an urgent message. Think, yes, but don't leave it too long. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day you must be saved, not tomorrow. The Bible says in James, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. God willing, you will be a have a tomorrow. Don't make plans for the new year. You shouldn't make plans. You shouldn't say, well, we're going here in February and here in June. You can make plans. I'm not saying you shouldn't make plans, but always put God willing. Always remember, you may not be here. And that's why the gospel is urgent. If you're going to be saved, then put this into your calendar. It's got to be now. It's got to be today. It's not got to be tomorrow. The shepherds are here to teach you that. They came with haste. They were urgent. They're here to help you believe. And so we must follow their example this morning. And the example of the shepherds is not only did they hear the gospel, the good news of the Savior's birth. Remember the message? To you has been born a Savior. To you, personally. Oh, it's wonderful. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And they believed it. They knew it was true. They knew it was true. They knew. The Lord had made it known to them. And then they came. They received. They rested. They trusted the Savior as their own Savior. They believed it. It was by faith, not by works. It was by the message that had been revealed to them. And they went to him. They came to him. Have you done that? Have you come to Christ? Have you really come to him? Like the wise men, you've got to come. You've got to come like the shepherds and fall down at his feet and present yourself before him. You don't have to give him a gift. The only gift he's looking for is your thanksgiving. And you're receiving his salvation. Have you believed? Like these men, these shepherds believed. Even before they came to Bethlehem, they knew it was true. Even before they came to Christ, they knew it was true. Faith enables you to believe like that, even before you see. Yet they did see. And they came and they fell down and they worshipped him. They left the sheep. Forget the sheep. It's not important. What I'm doing next week isn't important. What I'm doing next year isn't important. My salvation is the most important thing. At the end of 2014, if I'm not yet saved, this is the day to be saved. Don't go into 2015. Don't even dare think about 2015. Come to the Savior. They came quickly. They came with haste. Time really is rushing by. You know how quick these years go now. I don't know how you do your calendars, but ministers, I tend to do mine. It's sort of like September to July kind of style and the summer break. I just, it's 1 minute it's September, we're back off the holidays, and now we're Christmas. And now we're already into the new year. The next thing you know, it'll be Easter services here at the church. And then the spring and summer, and then the end of the year. How quickly these years go by. It's frustrating. You get so little done. You want to do so much. Time is rushing on. Charles Wesley wrote these words. There is time. This is the time, he said, no more delay. This is the Lord's accepted day. Let me say to you, if you're a Christian here this morning, what I would advise you to do, and I'm not preaching at you, I need to apply this in my life. We are all too busy. Make an effort this coming new year. Make an effort right now to re-control your life. Get grip on it. And say, no, I will not do anything unless I come and spend time with the Lord and seek Him. I want to know Him. We want revival, don't we? We want the power of the Holy Spirit. We want this church full of conversions. We ain't going to have it, friends, unless we begin to seek God. We've got to prioritize. We all know we've got to do it. But we don't do it. That's the problem. Let's make a resolution. Let's say, I'm going to pick up this book. I'm going to read it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make an effort. And you have to. There's a battle for this. You have to really have to say, no, I will not do anything. I must do this. You have important things to do, I know. But put them aside. There is one thing needful this coming year. Give yourself to seeking the Lord. But then if you're an unbeliever, as Wesley says, this is the accepted day. Do not delay. This is the time. Come in this moment at His call. Come all the world, he says. Look into this. Come all the world, come sinner thou. You come. You come. Oh, for all things are ready now. All you have to do is follow the shepherds. Having heard the gospel, they believed it. You've heard it this morning. Now let us believe it. And you too shall be saved. Amen.